The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
What if a guy found out of a certainty that there were death squads in a small rising country in Latin America? Would God be mad about that? What about the 40 Tomahawk missiles used to bombard Iran, submarine launched? Maybe, just maybe, the holy angels are dancing like the ground crews at Whitman Air Force Base when the flyboys took off. Because over the weekend, the Iranian jihadis got their up-and-comings. They were visited by heavy bombardment. I'm not a neoliberalist. I don't like war for war's sake, but there's a point where we have to be like the 82nd and pray for war. We've got to liberate the oppressed. How else do you think that the scripture will be fulfilled that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and he shall reign forever and ever? This is the Living by the Sword show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I'm your host, Samuel Honnold, broadcasting from Surf City in El Salvador. Maybe tonight we'll cover the Australian mushroom murderer. Maybe we'll cover Arvid Machtfrei. At last, we have a point last seen. If you have a point last seen and a good air-sending search dog, you can find anybody. Music tonight by John Parr will kick it off with St. Elmo's Fire. Do you think the flyboys saw any electricity on their wingtips as they were going to Tehran? And old-time sailors of all stripes saw it and knew they were on God's side.
Bye.
I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. Can you see that? Can you feel it? Can you feel that a new age has dawned since we've nailed Iran? Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's fire. I'm so tired of the chicken shits and chicken littles. The weak and the cowardly and the unbelieving. The people who thought it was okay to let those tyrants rule for decades over the people of Iran. For years, everybody mocked the USA and said we couldn't do it. Well, I got news for you about our glorious history. Regular listeners know my grandfather flew for the Mighty 8th Air Force. That he worked in heavy bombardment and took little packages to Der Führer. They didn't have Sharpies, but they'd get out there with a paintbrush and pencil a little note. I can climb the highest mountain, cross the wildest sea. I can hear the music playing, I can see the banners fly. Feel like you're back again, yeah, America's back again, and hope riding high. Gonna be your man in motion, all I need is a pair of wings. That's where my future's lying. America's war machines have humiliated the entire world. Where's Russia, who said, we have new radar, we seize F-35, no problem. Where's China? We bring sophisticated air defense system to Tehran. We want to test against F-35. We're going to blow out of sky. We're not afraid of aircraft carrier. We have DF-51 missile. We blow out of water. So what happened when the chips were down? All those big talkers, all the smack talkers, couldn't hit shit. You know that B-2 Spirit is 179 feet across? It's not even supersonic. It's a subsonic aircraft. And there they were. Floating around for hours over Iranian skies. And nobody could hit a single one. All the Ayatollah's horses and all the Ayatollah's men. All of their missile batteries, all their camel bombs. The Iranians do have a navy, you know. I mean, they don't have the heavy, heavy ships like the U.S. and China, maybe Russia have. But they got frigates galore. And where's the missiles? Where's the missiles on all their frigates? This attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure was just like Billy Jack telling the bad guy, I'm gonna put my right foot up against the left side of your face and there's not a thing you can do about it. And then he did. Old Billy Jack karate kicked that guy right in the face. Speaking of sea launch missiles, you know old Donald Trump snuck up in there with a nuclear powered submarine. So we got these old ballistic missile submarines being refitted with Mark 41 vertical launch cells, so it's a conventional weapon. It's not a boomer anymore, it's just got nuclear propulsion. The missiles are all conventional. Well, hypothetically, they could carry the Block 5 nuclear Tomahawk. I mean, if any adversary really wanted to get skippy, they could bring some nuclear warheads to bear that way. But they're largely conventional. So while the Iranians and the Hottentots, those Houthis down there in Yemen, were all monitoring the location of proximate U.S. warships, this nuclear submarine snuck up to an undisclosed location, and they opened the hatches and just started letting them sail. Yeah, Tomahawk land attack cruise missiles by the scores. So once again, where's the smack talkers, huh? Where's the TikTokers that are going to take a bunch of pictures and be out there saying, Ali Ali Outs come in and dancing and shooting AK-47s in the air over the wreckage of a downed Tomahawk? Did you see any of those? I didn't see any of those. I think those Tomahawks most all got to their target and obliterated them, just like Donald Trump said. Once in his life, a man has his time, and my time is now. I'm coming alive. All I have to say to the legacy Antichrist powers out there in the world is, you broke the boy in me, but you won't break the man. America is back, baby, forged in fire, back with a vengeance. I'm going to read some of the reports of highly respected commentators. Some of them are friends or have been my friends in the past, but they're dead wrong on this issue. Starting with Hal Turner. You know, I hitchhiked a lot on his show before I had my own. He's got great sources and good commentary on a lot of things, but his Jew-hating was absolutely unacceptable to me, and it's only gotten worse since I disfellowshipped him. Let's read from his post on HalTurnerRadioShow.com. A couple things are very clear. We here in the United States are absolutely completely occupied by a foreign government, Israel. What a bunch of bull, Hal, and shame on you for continuing to proffer that historic Catholic doctrine, the erroneous belief that all the evil in the world is the fault of the Juden. Let's read on. Hal says, Trump has volunteered the U.S. military as an instrument for Israel, a genocidal foreign colonial implant to attack a sovereign country that posed no threat to the U.S. Let me ask then, who's screwing up the Americas? Who is running the migrant surges? Who is back in Venezuela and propping up that failing regime again and again? Well, Biden did it by letting Chevron back in and allowing them to pump oil, but Iran has been their life-saving infusion again and again, causing chaos in the Americas. Here we see the number one state sponsor of terror in the world, Iran, backing and propping up the number one state sponsor of terror in the Americas, Venezuela. Hal continues, Trump did so in violation of the Constitution and against the wishes of the overwhelming majority of the American public. I'll answer that with an interesting tweet here on my desk. It's from @Amuse on the X platform, Iran War : Days before Trump decided to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program, the Islamic Republic admitted that it had hundreds of sleeper cells already in the U.S., ready to strike at a moment's notice. The U.N. defines this as an act of war. Here's the Amuse headline. Iran told Trump days before attack it had sleeper cells in U.S. The infiltration of sleeper cells with the intent to conduct terrorist attacks is classified as an armed attack under Article 51 of the U.N. Charter, which recognizes a state's right to self-defense. The admission by Iran days before Trump's decision to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program easily justifies the attack. I and millions more Americans are dying for the day that the cockroaches come out from under the furniture. We've been saying it for decades. Ali, 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 Ali outs come in. Ali outs come in. Come on out, guys. Come on out from under the bed. Come out and bring your worst. Get your hidden AK-47s. Get your munitions unpacked. Just bust them out of the shipping containers and out of the back of all your pita parlors. Let's effing rumble. Let's go. This has been, for decades, like a pimple that won't pop. Like a gnarly, swelled-up red zit that just will not head out. You cannot pop that sucker until it's ready. Until it gets ripe. So tell me, are we there yet? I say Iran is like a little bitty pussycat arched up to make itself look bigger, going then threatening with its little bitty claws. They used to do that to Logan. He was a big pudgy pooch. And when those little kitties would bow up like that, it scared him so bad. And one time I just took him over and said, Logan, look at this. I took his paws in my hand and I said, He's got little bitty paws with little bitty claws, and you have this great big bear paw. So this is what you do. You just pin him to the ground with that big paw. And you know what? I took his paw and did it. Pinned the kitty to the ground. And the kitty goes, wee, wee. It started to whine and squeal like every bully that's been punched in the nose and has blood running down his lip. The kitty wasn't hurt at that point. But I told Logan, look, you just pin him like this with your great big paw, and then you can tear his head off if you want to. Fellow fat Americans, we're the ones with all the guns. We're the ones that know orienteering, that have a million woodsmanship skills, that are deadly accurate marksmen from squirrel hunting, that have bullets to spare and ammunition to burn. We can go to the range if we want and shoot off all our guns. We just don't want to clean them, and sometimes we'd rather golf. We're the ones with a military that can fly all the way around the world 37 hours without even losing a tanker. Yeah, not only could our enemies not locate the B-2s that were in Iranian airspace, like, for hours, they couldn't even locate a tanker aircraft, and we had to have dozens of them circling just all over the globe to make this happen. Okay, I'm ranting. Let's go back out to John Parr for a while. This is naughty, naughty. Tease me. Hey, America. Hey, Strike Eagle. I got a question for you. Do you want to get naughty? All right. You don't wanna be a girl like that. And if this could be the first. Oh, I went to the desert. There was not a tent there. Just a camel humped down with his tits in the air. Hey, I gotta have fun while I can because I'm gonna move out of this bulldozing phase and I'm gonna be able to build into plant, which is really my heart. I'm gonna run the revival circuit just as soon as we're done purging out all the chaff. The Lord spoke this to my spirit when I was just a young preacher. This is Jeremiah 1 and 10. It begins, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Afterward, don't you see? Afterward, to build and to plant. Isn't that beautiful? We are going to build and we are going to plant, and it's already begun. I'm going to transition this show into a new iteration. We'll have Living by the Sword live. I'll take calls from around the world. We'll coax the coals of revival into flame. We'll fire up the prayer furnace and we'll cut off all the cowards in their effeminate, emasculated ways. We'll raise up a new generation of warriors, a generation that's worthy to inherit the world to come. But right now, let's twist the knife just a little bit more. Here's something that came across my Twitter feed, and I have to play it for you. It's a Beach Boys parody.
Bum, 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 I ran. Bum, 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 I ran.
Bum, 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 bum.
Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box. Bum, I ran, bum, 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 I ran. The country's got a feeling, really hit the ceiling. Bum, I ran, bum, 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 I ran. Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot. Bum, I ran.
I promise we'll get serious after the break, but right now I have to poke a little bit more fun. We really need to poke some fun because we've been mocked and scorned these 40 plus years, 45 years, since Jimmy Carter let the Hodges take over and kick out the Shah in 1979. Old peanut farming aw shucks Jimmy Carter even had at his disposal a powerful new unit, the Delta Force. And when the Iranians took U.S. hostages, that weak-kneed puppet president made a disaster and botched their rescue. One of my heroes, Colonel Robert W. Black, and one of the original Delta operators, wrote the book on it called The Guts to Try. I had it on audio, read by Colonel Black himself, and I played it again and again on long road trips. What should have been a stunning Delta Force debut became the Delta debut disaster due to a horrific crash and fuel supply explosion at a desert staging area. It wasn't even at the actual attack point. I've got the Wikipedia up. It was almost 500 days. After 444 days, the Iran hostage crisis came to an end, reading from Wikipedia. The Iran hostage crisis began on November 4, 1979, when 66 Americans, including diplomats and other civilian personnel, were taken hostage at the Embassy of the United States in Tehran, with 52 of them being held until January 20, 1981, the day that Big Bad Ronald Reagan took the presidency. Reading on, the hostage takers demanded that the United States extradite Iranian King Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, that is the Shah, I'll add, who had been granted asylum by the Carter administration for cancer treatment. The Shah's son, Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, is now rising up and commanding the people of Iran to rise up and overthrow their Islamic tyranny. The Shah died in the midst of those negotiations in Cairo, Egypt, on July 27, 1980. Now let's ask, what is an Ayatollah? This is also from Wikipedia. According to Michael M.J. Fisher, the Iranian Revolution led to rapid inflation of religious titles so that almost every senior cleric began to be called an Ayatollah, raising the number of individuals who call themselves an Ayatollah dramatically. Ali Khamenei, who was addressed with the mid-level title of Hujjat al-Islam when he was in office as president of Iran, was bestowed the title Ayatollah immediately after he was elected supreme leader of Iran in 1989. Now, I remember that guy, Ayatollah Khamenei. He was a thorn in the side of America. Final paragraph here on Wiki. Use of the term is pejorative. In the West, particularly the U.S., the term Ayatollah may be used as a pejorative to describe religious fundamentalism. But this mockery began far ahead of the 1989 rise of Ayatollah Khomeini. Let's talk about the Ayatollah of a rock and roller, as fabulous guitar playing soul brother Stitch plays opposite the role of Clint Eastwood's Gunnery Sergeant Highway Medal of Honor recipient, who, when challenged by a junior officer where he went to college, responded, "Heartbreak Ridge." So here Clint Eastwood walks into the bar with his gray, high and tight dress greens uniform as Stitch takes the stage to play.
Now, back from an awesomely successful tour, the Earl of Funk, the Duke of Cool, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, Stitch Jones!
Stop telling me what to do, and that goes for your mama too.
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred. Welcome back to the Living by the Sword radio show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. We're broadcasting worldwide on Radio Miami International, 9.955 megahertz into Latin America and the Caribbean, and on WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine into the USA and Canada on 7.490 megahertz. Conflicting reports are coming across my desk. You're going to have to decide who to believe. Some reports state that the nuclear sites were barely scratched. Of course, Donald Trump was clear when he said that they were completely obliterated. Iranian naval activity has picked up in the Straits of Hormuz, and it is likely to soon be mined. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard are releasing propaganda videos of their navy launching missiles, including their little bitty Zulfagar-class missile boats. We have laughed those to scorn when they appeared in the Caribbean, the missile even flying right over a stationary SYNC-X target. That thing couldn't even hit a garbage scow standing stock still. Once again, I have to ask, where were all their frigates Saturday night? Because, as near as I can tell, not even the magic carpets were able to fly while the B-2s were in the air. The element of surprise of American stealth aircraft, both F-35s and B-2 Spirit heavy bombers, was complete. How ninja is that? The art of invisibility. I'm going to wrap up my jokes here, but you need to know that this is important, because kings and potentates bluster. They blustered back and forth in the Bible. In the book of Nehemiah, the wicked kings and the jihadis of that day were making fun as the wall was being rebuilt in Jerusalem. They said, "Will they build in a day? Will they offer sacrifice?" Well, yes, they did. They rebuilt the second temple, known as Herod's Temple. They did offer sacrifice, and the Lord Jesus himself graced that temple with his presence. When he was finished weaving together cords and entered to whoop everyone's ass. Ahab also was a wicked king. The nation was backslidden under him. But even so, the Lord spoke to him by prophets and gave him the victory as 7,000 holy warriors went before. And I believe it was Ahab who mocked the king who came against him, saying, he who puts on his armor should not boast as him who takes it off. Well, guess what? The B-2 heavy bombers came back to Whitman Air Force Base after 37 hours in the air and began to land, and not a one was missing among them. So let's rewind to 1986 and Clint Eastwood's Heartbreak Ridge. The Shiite regime in Iran had only been in power for 7 years, and what do we see? The Ayatollah of a rock and roller.
Stitch Jones is the name, rockin' and rappin' is the game.
Yeah, well, pleased to meet you too, man. Well, banged up my Corvette, but I figure what the hell. I mean, it'd be a chance to get out and meet the regular people, you know, dudes like yourself, people like my fans, you know. I'm a singer, man, you heard of me. Stitch Jones, Earl of Funk, Duke of Cool, Ayatollah of rock and roller.
Shut your face, hippie.
Also breaking this, just crossing my desk here in El Salvador, the deployment of 1,500 soldiers and 500 militarized police to completely surround the Barrio Negro of Ilopango. The devil-worshipping Mara criminals were embedded there trying to reorganize and continue their illicit activities. They can't help but shake down a few shop owners, and that's all it took to stimulate this deployment. Ilopango is a neighborhood on the eastern edge of the San Salvador metro area up against the lake by the same name, Ilopango. All of this is in the shadow of the volcano known as Chichontepeque or San Vicente, where there was a horrible thunder shower with hurricane force winds. It seems that even the mountain is angry and is working to purge out the injustice and the unsolved murders, the guilt of innocent blood. I wanted to track this recycled joke of the Ayatollah of a rock and roller back to what I believe to be its origin in Mad Max, The Road Warrior, 1981, where this is one of the honorifics bestowed upon the engorged steroid monster king, Mongus.
The Lord Humongous, the warrior of the wasteland, the Ayatollah of rock and roller!
Did I mention that the gangster Pirata was encircled by the dragnet in Ilopango? At CBAR News SV reports that Rene Alejandro Vasquez Estrada was captured. During the security operation, the subject identified as a homeboy of the criminal gangster Loco's clique of the MS-13 Salvatruchos will be sent to prison as part of the war against gangs. The authorities continue their registry in the zone to disarticulate completely the criminal structures. And here's the picture of Pirata, the new generation of MS-13 gangsters, young, a pencil-thin mustache, baby-faced and tattoo-free. Nevertheless, this gangster is out of there. He will go directly to the Secot. While the world has been aghast at Nayib Bukele's treatment of the gangsters, I have pushed for stricter measures. Under the law of Moses, there was no Secot. Execution was the order of that era, and here once again, everybody wants to call that guerra sucia, dirty war. What weak stomachs we have today. You know, Samson was a one-man death squad. He was a one-man wrecking crew. I think we all know how Samson paid his bets and settled his debts. And I'm trying to encourage towards masculinity and maturity a generation that lacks the stomach for such. What do you think a sheriff's posse was in the old days? A death squad. They didn't ride out to take prisoners. The warrants issued by judges in those days were most often death warrants that authorized the execution, and the bounties were often paid dead or alive for dangerous criminals anyway. What do you think was the civil defense in Coffeyville, Kansas? Although they were stationary and didn't pursue criminals, they laid a trap for them when they knew they were coming. They shot up the Dalton gang so bad they never recovered, killing two of the four Dalton brothers that day along with two other henchmen. Right here's a great Polaroid of all four of them laid out with their guns, dead earned hammers, before being carried up to Boot Hill. Nobody apologized for that back then. Then we had a nation that believed in manifest destiny, that believed that the free world was going to grow and conquer this continent. How can we be so faithless today to believe that the free world will not cover the earth? Will that not be the spotless bride that the Lord Jesus will return for? Going back another century to the 1700s, what do you think a militia was? It was a death squad. they marched out with their muskets to put the enemy to an utter end. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. That's what Willie Nelson and Toby Keith said. I played it for you a few weeks ago. Going back centuries through American history and many, many centuries through the Bible, the call to arms was a call to destroy the threat. Destroy the enemy that so threatened that our Christian communities. Our forefathers did these things unapologetically. A person would really be deceived to think God was mad at someone who did the same today. I think you all know that here in the top of the hour, we go to a little bit more romantic tunes. Here's John Parr from the movie Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This is no game. Standing in the dark, I swear I heard you calling my name. And I knew things had changed. No pain, no gain. Something in your eyes just told me that this nightmare would end. And I had found a friend. Shouted from the highest steeple. Let it out to all the people.
Speaker
I really wish our nation would unite in this trying time, that the misplaced grace on those who are a menace to society and civility would stop. The error of it is so readily apparent. There's bickering within the U.S. Congress. There's griping that this whole matter didn't go through Congress. Do you really think it could have been done leak-free if the Congress were involved? There were entire allied nations completely cut out of the loop because they would have ratted us out. Someone asked me with a smirk a few weeks ago, "What do you think about Elon Musk and Trump having this big fight?" I stopped and turned, drew a deep breath, and said, "You don't ask a kid what he thinks when mommy and daddy have a big fight at home." The entire safe environment is traumatized. The last thing a kid should have to do is pick a side. It was very disturbing when that disagreement happened high up in our government. Now that it's passed and they've largely made up, I'll tell you what Elon was so pissed off about, that the big beautiful bill has like $340 or $230 billion of deficit spending. Like nothing. In fact, that was the same order of magnitude by which Elon's stock went down when he decided he'd open his mouth and bitch about Trump. What the big beautiful bill overspent with the entire United States government in a year, Elon lost just about in a day. So hey, let's not give in to that kind of infighting. Let's unite against the threats to civility. That is Iran, their terror cells, communism, the purple-haired anarchists, the Palestinian movement, an Iranian proxy, which was steeped in communism all the way back before Entebbe. I'll close this segment saying that I'm not a refugee any longer. I know the plight of the migrants because I've been one. I understand what it is to have to ask for help everywhere you go and to everyone you meet. I've learned how a heart of wickedness can rise up in someone and they can take advantage of you for that. Just like my lady friend Cheyenne, a very experienced hitchhiker, once said, "There is never a top bunk." Meaning everyone who offered her hospitality expected sex from her. Well, I made it to the USA. I made it back to El Salvador, a little bit like Mephibosheth. I had sworn not to get a shoe shine or an American haircut. I also didn't even want to see an American dentist since Obama is still all up in that. Now I know a few things. I'm once again a full citizen of these United States and a proud citizen at that. I'm thankful that the entire military might of the U.S. war machine will back me up, all the naval vessels, all the flyboys, all the paratroopers. Just in case anybody wants to start trouble with me now, you need to know that. And isn't it interesting that the same ones that are so willing to take advantage of a refugee are the same ones who say Arbeit macht frei? I also understand why my grandfather had to go to Berlin and kill so many of them. He killed so many Nazis, and isn't it interesting that that's the N-word they try to put on us when we go after the criminals with our posse? Yeah! I had so hoped two times that the Germans of today and I could get along better than our grandfathers, who had fought a bitter war. There's such a valiant history of protest in Germany, the land of Luther, of King Charlie, of Wittenberg Chapel and the Diet of Worms. In Grandpa's day, it was the land of Arbeit macht frei, the lie, the salvation myth. The deliverance myth that was mockingly put on the Juden. Those slaves, despised in the eyes of their captors, were never going to be let free. They were never going to receive their price. Let's see what their own prophet said about this. This is Zechariah chapter 11, starting in verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. But what was the disposition of the prophet? That if he got paid or if he did not, he would break the fellowship. 14. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. The kingdom was from that moment fractured by prophecy. Do you think it won't happen today? Even here in El Salvador, some people come to build this nation, some come to bleed it dry. Just like the U.S.-Mexico border, just like the Rio Grande, some Americans come across for cheap, well-made leather, for tequila and rum, for natural vanilla. You know what another guy said to me? Somebody very close to me. The best thing about Mexico, he said with wide eyes, you can get a blowjob anywhere. $5. That's why Arbeit macht frei comes to El Salvador, not because they can buy sex or crime, but because there are even attorneys and politicians, business people with no moral compass. They'll argue a case, but with no sense of right and wrong. The very things that we should be teaching these people who are just now awakening from la pesadilla, from the nightmare. Before our last love song for the pelirroja, I'm going to leave those troublemakers with one more verse, Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. This is a grave warning for the believer, upon whom they should not extend grace, because if you let that criminal slide, they'll reoffend.
You may be wrong, you may be right. We don't need this out tonight, when all is said. I still love you. A lonely day, a lonely night keeps me on this endless flight. When all is said, I still love you.
Yeah.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, GospelGunslingers.com.